Parce que moi, à l'âge de 8 ans, j'ai rentré en centre d'accueil. Puis à zéro, j'étais adopté à 2 ans et demi. À zéro, j'étais dans une crèche, la crèche du Jovel. Et dans ce temps-là, c'était les chasses-femmes. Et puis, c'est ça. Ça fait que moi, ben, j'ai été adopté à 2 ans et demi. Puis là, ben, ça m'a révolté. Moi, j'ai rendu à 8 ans, ben, j'ai mon placé. Puis à 17 ans, je suis tombé dans la rue. Je suis tombé dans la rue à me débrouiller. C'est ce qu'on appelle l'instinct de survie. Fait que moi, c'est pas vraiment le fait de ne pas avoir sans abri, c'est-à-dire de ne pas avoir de place à coucher. De place à coucher, je ne crée pas à ça, moi, une place, pas de place à coucher. Dans le sens que.
Ouais.
Dans le sens, le soutien.
Dans le sens que. Moi, je pense que c'est l'instinct de survie. Quand je suis sorti du centre d'accueil, là, c'est l'instinct de survie. Mais l'instinct de survie, c'est que j'ai été obligé de voler, de vendre de la drogue, puis vendre mon cul, puis pour pas avoir de... Parce que moi, t'es sorti du centre d'accueil, je savais pas c'était quoi me trouver un loyer. Je savais pas. J'avais besoin de tout. J'avais besoin d'affection. J'avais besoin de compréhension.
Ouais. Ouais.
Je pense que c'est ça qui manque aujourd'hui aux personnes de sans-abri, de comprendre. C'est pas... Y en a qui fument, qui vouent, puis ils ont des places à coucher, puis ça prend un coup à tous les jours, puis ils se promènent en BMW. Je pense que le problème, c'est pas vraiment de boire puis de prendre de la drogue. Ouais.
Et là, vous
psychologique, moi.
Ouais.
C'est plutôt plus au niveau psychologique qu'on devrait aider les gens.
Ouais. Mais Vianney, là, il y a plusieurs parmi vous qui font de quoi à l'itinéraire. Et l'itinéraire comme média indépendant ou alternatif, est-ce que vous pensez qu'en abordant ces sujets dans le journal, et les gens, ils lisent ces revendications-là et ces articles, etc., est-ce que vous pensez que ça le rend plus conscient de ça et d'être révolté comme on devrait l'être? Ils vont être révoltés quand il y a du monde qui habite dans la rue parce que c'est vraiment pas acceptable à tous les niveaux. Il n'y a aucun argument qui peut dire que c'est quelque chose d'acceptable. Est-ce que vous pensez que en propageant les idées de ça, que ça va...
J'ai écrit un article il y a 2 mois sur qu'est-ce que j'en pensais de l'itinérance il y a 2 mois. Et puis, ça répond à ta question. Mais vous êtes un poste de radio.
Ouais,
moi, j'ai dit qu'on parlait du clone aujourd'hui. En 2004, on parle du clone. On parle de navette spatiale. Puis George Bush, puis ci, puis ça. Puis on parle-tu de la maladie mentale que les gens ont? Surtout au Canada, là. Tu sais, on est une place riche, me semble.
Bien, merci beaucoup d'avoir parlé entre nous sur ces sujets difficiles.
Right now, we've got a,
mais je voudrais ajouter quelque chose, moi, là-dessus.
Attends, on a quelqu'un au téléphone.
We have a couple of people online,
il y a plusieurs personnes au téléphone.
We have Mary Pott from Nunavut. Mary Pott from Nunavut is on the line with us now. Are you there, Mary? Mary, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
And also Vaughn Barnett from Fredericton. Vaughn, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Vaughn.
Welcome, Vaughn. My name is Dexter X, and also with me here is Dave Widgington. We had the pleasure of picking up Vaughn from
Bordeaux jail.
Bordeaux jail when he was incarcerated during the WTO protests here. And Mary Pott, you had a question for Vaughn. Mary, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You had a question for Vaughn, am I right?
No.
I have a question for Vaughn if we're looking for questions.
No,
because what would the question be like? What I just heard was a bunch of dialogue in French. We don't understand that here. We're in Nunavut.
Okay.
Maybe a quick resume for... this is a bilingual broadcast, and we are doing our best to serve both English and French listeners out there. So a quick resume of the last discussion that we just had in English, please.
So we were talking about the newspaper that we have in Montreal for homelessness. It's called L'Itinéraire. And we had two guests on our open mic who were saying how much they enjoyed working for it and how much... It brought to them in their situation of homelessness.
Yeah, and they were also giving, paying witness to living on the street and how difficult it is and how unacceptable and completely intolerable it is as well. And there were two other guests on the open mic who were saying they were talking about similar issues as well. So now on the phone we have Vaughn Barnett, who's you're living in Fredericton, Vaughn?
Yes, I am.
Can you just to get the idea started? Can you talk about an experience of yours related to homelessness on some level?
Some level.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not beyond poverty myself, so I can relate to it largely because I work with poor people, and poor people aren't able to pay for services. So if you do a lot of work with the poor, then you pretty much have to be poor as well. So I can certainly relate to where they're coming from and the way we approach it, that we're in it together. And in my work as a legal advocate, I have a lot of people coming to me who are not necessarily homeless, but living on the edge of poverty and homelessness, welfare recipients and public housing tenants in particular. At the moment, I am working with other people in forming an advocacy collective,
mm-hmm.
and that began actually around an issue of public housing evictions, some of which seem to be based on retaliation against complaints about housing conditions.
Right.
So there is a problem here, probably across the country, a shortage in affordable housing and public housing. And that creates a pressure on government to get people into housing and then out again so they can get the next group of people in.
Mm. Well, before we continue talking about housing, I'd like to invite Mary to give her relationship to homelessness, whatever she has to share with the listeners. Mary, are you
okay,
still with us?
Okay, I think that one of the most frustrating things up here that I meet with when I'm working...
Actually,
is that
before
we have a public, a Calumet Housing Authority, and mm-hmm. that's where people have to apply for housing.
Where are you calling from?
They need a 1 year. They have to be a resident, and so you have to live here for 1 year. However, there's no place for people to stay for that 1 year, mm-hmm. so that they can establish their residency, and then it's another year on the waiting list before you can possibly even get into a place if there's a resident. So to me, that discriminates to the community, to our ladies that wish to get out of these predicaments that they find themselves, these violent situations.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do meanwhile?
Pardon me?
What do the people do while they're on the waiting list? What happens to these people that are waiting?
They have nothing, so a lot of times they go back.
Go back where?
Because our establishment only... keeps ladies for 6 weeks.
We do
extend it in certain circumstances, but what we really need is more emergency shelters for people who are on that waiting list. Mm-hmm. But that goes unanswered.
Do you know of any statistics or recent statistics of how many people are affected by not being kept on the waiting list or finishing after 6 weeks?
We can't really do stuff on that because you don't know who's homeless, because there's people living. There might be three, four families living in a three, four-bedroom, and some people live in shacks. And so you can't really count how many people are homeless because people that aren't living on the streets or in shacks or anything like that.
So there's
with other families that have the kids, population. And then the other family that lives there might have kids, so there's overcrowding and going house to house.
There are people on the waiting list, and then there are people waiting to get on the waiting list. And there's really a backlog. And the government realizes this, and responds to the pressure by providing some social housing, but also by imposing these requirements, hoping that some people will just drop out or be evicted or what have you. And I think that's partly why we get residence requirements and other things of that nature, just to shortlist people. And really, it's not responding to the needs. It's ignoring the needs and forcing people to look for help elsewhere.
Yeah, I agree with you a lot, Vaughn.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, there are several other people on the line waiting to get through. So I'm going to have to say thanks for a lot, Mary, for taking the time to speak with us, and Vaughn as well.
Thank you.
So thanks a lot for talking.
Good to talk to you again, Dexter.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be talking soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So now, who do we have on the line?
And now we have Blair. Blair is calling. He's calling. He has been homeless in the past, and he'd like to speak to us about a topic which he calls From Squeegee to Conformity. Do we have Blair on the line? Do we have Blair? We're waiting for Blair to confirm. Okay, Blair.
Blair? Who is anyone on the phone at the moment? There's no one on the phone. Around the table, actually, Andy just joined us. He came on the table. He hasn't yet spoken about the issue, but I know that he has a point of view regarding homelessness, and he has experienced it himself. He's dealt with it in various ways, depending on what came at him and he had to deal with, such as the life of homelessness. It becomes very precarious, where it becomes almost a defense period. But I'd like Andy to talk more about it. He obviously is able to do it justice that I can.
Well, it's no serious laughing matter to be homeless, to be out on the streets, especially here in Montreal, where it's
cold, starting to get cold.
It's
out
miserable.
Already.
It's it's mean, and people do live on the streets of Montreal, and there's no excuse for this nonsense whatsoever. You know, we got a lot of shelters. Yes, that's all right, but there's a lot of people that do not want to go to shelters. Okay, I know I'm one of those people. Like I'm too proud to walk into a shelter, but I'd like to see more affordable, low cost housing. I'd like to see the rate of how would you say it? The minimum wage go up a little bit more, because the cost of living is so darn expensive. Like I said before earlier, every year it's going up 2% for the cost of living, but nobody's salaries are going up. People on welfare, they're not their salaries aren't going up, their checks or anything. And there's sick people out on the streets right now that need medications, that can't afford medications. It's being homeless is not easy. It's not an easy, simple life. There's a lot of people out there that's homeless because by no choice. They can't afford to pay rents. This is what the big issue is. It's about poverty. It's about poor people suffering, okay? And there's no excuse. I don't care at what level of government. It's everybody's responsibility. And I mean, in some parts of Canada right now, people are being... deliberately, just because they're homeless, I mean, you can throw gasoline on them because they're scum of the earth, apparently. You know, you can mutilate the homeless people, okay? You can treat them like with no dignity at all, you know? And it's enough garbage, you know? We're talking about poverty. We're talking about people's lives here. I am a human being. I lived on the streets of Montreal. I've suffered, and I'm one of the luckiest peoples right now because I've got so many people that lifted me up, dusted me off, and gave me life again and gave me dignity and, working. I just can't afford it. I'm a daddy. I've got three children at home. And, at home, if you want to call it home, the street is home. Mm. They're born on the streets. They live on the streets. And it's not my fault. And I tried to do the best I could by working. But at minimum wage, bringing up three children, it's no.
Je vais juste le dire un peu en français pour donner un petit résumé, pas aussi élaboré qu'Andy vient de nous présenter, mais je vais essayer de faire...
On pourrait dire en gros, c'est un gros déséquilibre de la distribution des richesses.
C'est bien ça, Caillou.
Ouais. Si tu veux compléter?
Oui, aussi, ouais, sûrement c'était ça. Ça, c'est comme la base, vraiment, la distribution de richesses. Il y en a qui se le gardent, puis il y en a d'autres qui n'en ont pas.
faut ouvrir l'esprit des gens pour dire ben parce que la personne est itinérante, parce que la personne a eu une bad luck, faut pas lui pitcher de l'huile puis la traiter comme des vidanges. C'est pourtant ça qui se passe. Puis...
Oui, puis le même temps, c'est une question des finances.
Ouais.
OK? Moi, je dis les causes, c'est dans la cause des finances, les bonnes finances. OK? T'as choisi le monde, titre de potentiel. C'est pas juste à Montréal, c'est à Sorel, c'est partout au province Québec. OK? Ça crée de faim. C'est des parents, même pas capables de donner de nourriture à son propre enfant parce qu'il ne fait pas le moyen. Puis c'est ça, là. Puis si tu veux appeler moi, appelez-moi à 1-866-763-4136. Encore, le numéro, c'est 1-66-763-4136.
Et c'est un numéro sans frais. So we're just reminding callers that there is a toll-free number that we recommend you call. Participate in this conversation. People have a voice. They have their opinions to say it, and sometimes we don't always have the opportunity. Well, now the mics are open, so do give us a call at 1-866-763-4136. It's toll-free, so it won't cost you a dime. Any payphone will take it.
In particular, we're looking for young women to call, women who have lived on the streets, or young women to call to tell their story. Now's the
Indeed.
Time. If you're listening, call us and... We've got the mic for you.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of men around the table, so we like to spread the idea of having a diversity of opinion. So if there are any women, young women who have an example of this experience they'd like to share, please give us a call, 1-866-763-4136. It's a toll-free number, so come on in.
Okay, now we have Caillou.
OK, bien, en attendant les appels, moi, j'aimerais ça dire, je vois des choses qui se passent, puis ce qui me fait chier, moi, j'ai pas peur des mots, là, ce qui me fait vraiment chier, c'est de voir nos politiciens qui sont menteurs, qui nous font des promesses de toutes sortes pour se faire élire. Quand ils sont là, bien, ils font plus rien. Puis ça, c'est à tous les niveaux. Il y a du gaspillage. On voit au fédéral, M. Martin, qui est rentré là, qui, depuis des années, profite du système pour s'enrichir les poches, qui arrive là, qui coupe les dépenses. Puis, première dépense qu'il fait, c'est qu'il hausse les salaires d'un certain groupe. Ça, moi, ça me révolte, puis ça devrait révolter les auditeurs, parce que c'est eux autres, c'est nous autres qui payent pour ça, pour ce gaspillage-là. Au lieu de s'attaquer aux problèmes, ils s'attaquent à des parties de solutions, puis ils font juste du temporaire en dépensant des gros, gros sous là-dedans.
Oui, puis ils mettent un plaster sur le bobo.
Un cataplasme sur une jambe de bois.
Ça.
Now we have Anna joining us here at the Outdoor Homelessness Marathon.
Hi. well, what I wanted to say, I'm going to speak in French. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
C'est bon.
C'est bon. Mais tantôt, on parlait un petit peu, en début de soirée, on parlait de l'espace public. Moi, ce que je voulais dire, en fait, c'est que présentement, ce qui se passe, c'est que de plus en plus, ben, on veut plus voir la pauvreté, on veut pas voir l'itinérance. Dans le fond, ce qu'on criminalise, c'est la pauvreté. Puis en autant que les gens aient leur chèque de BS puis qu'ils sont en leur logement, on se fout pas mal de la pauvreté. Là. En autant qu'on la voit pas, en autant qu'on la cache...
C'est invisible.
Puis on peut voir qu'est-ce que Giuliani a fait à New York il y a quelques années. Puis bon, dans ce temps-là, je pense que c'était le maire... je me rappelle plus, maire Bourque, qui était à Montréal. Puis il voulait faire la même chose ici aussi, c'est-à-dire éloigner toute l'itinérance du centre-ville. Puis la mettre en périphérie, pour que la ville elle soit belle quand les touristes ils viennent à Montréal, puis pas qu'ils voient qu'il y a de l'itinérance puis de la pauvreté à Montréal.
C'est ça, c'est pour cacher les problèmes.
Ouais. Oui. Ouais.
Mais ils ont des subventions pour faire des gardiens de prison. Ça, ils ont des subventions pour faire des nouvelles polices. Puis de dire que, moi, je pense la honte, la culpabilité, là, je l'ai vécu jeune. Je pense que c'est ce qu'on fait vivre aux gens. Moi, je crois que bien des gens sont en prison aujourd'hui puis ils ne méritent pas d'être en prison parce que mentalement, là, sont dérangés. Puis c'est là qu'il faudrait les aider. Je m'excuse, mais... tu sais, t'es rendu, là, t'as perdu ta femme et tu vis un espace de divorce. Puis c'est ça, tu sais pas faire à manger. Tu sais pas... T'as trouvé un loyer, pis ça. Mais aucune aide. Le gars, là, qu'est-ce qu'on fait avec? On le traite de criminel au lieu de l'aider. Mm-hmm. Ben, Je pense que si au lieu de mettre le monde criminel, on devrait peut-être l'aider. C'est sûr qu'il y a des criminels, mais je pense que le gouvernement est beaucoup plus criminel que les, la plupart des prisonniers, moi. Moi, je parle pas en faveur des prisonniers, là. Mais je parle, moi, en tant que connu le centre d'accueil, là, puis en tant que connu la rue, là, parce que je parle avec des gens constamment. Ça fait 10 ans que je fais un journal itinéraire. Puis j'observe les gens, je les vois les gens. Puis moi-même, je trouve que j'ai de la misère à m'en sortir. Je trouve que c'est dur. Puis l'aide, là, aujourd'hui, là, je crois que... Bien, c'est comme il y en a un qui me disait l'autre jour, il y a 18 ans, il vient d'avoir 18 ans, puis il s'est fait mettre dehors de l'abri des jeunes, il s'est fait mettre dehors de Pops. Il s'est fait... Oui, c'est vrai qu'il y a des comportements inadéquats, mais Chris, aussi, comment ça qu'on met du monde de même dehors au lieu de les aider, de les encourager?
Merci beaucoup, Vianney.
Puis d'essayer d'avoir une compréhension. C'est parce que je pense qu'il manque d'intervenants, OK, qu'il y a une ouverture d'esprit, puis qui comprend le problème. Parce que je pense que la plupart sortent d'université puis ils connaissent pas le problème. Il faut l'avoir vécu pour le connaître.
Oui, il faut l'avoir vécu. C'est bien ça. Merci beaucoup, Vianney. C'est des très bons points. On a aussi... We have a caller from Winnipeg on the line. We've got John from Winnipeg who has a question about couples on welfare. Do we have John?
Hello?
Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks.
So you had a couple things to say about welfare?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you that well.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's pretty quiet, so.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you perfectly.
Okay, yeah. I wanted to share, I've lived on the street, and I came from BC to Winnipeg with basically a cardboard box with my clothes in it. And I realized that, you know, just because you're collecting minimum wages is no excuse to plead poverty. I mean, if you're not going to have... You have to practice safe sex, not having three kids. There's no excuse to have three kids if you're poor. You don't need three kids. Like, you can get by on minimum wage. Like, I have an apartment. I have nice clothes. I have a vehicle. I only make $7.50 an hour. And if you don't smoke, like, there's no reason... If you're poor, you shouldn't be smoking. You shouldn't be smoking to begin with, or drinking.
And but the reality is that people do smoke and they do drink. They have addictions.
Yeah, but if somebody's smoking and drinking, they shouldn't be complaining, pleading poverty. Like, if you can afford $10 for a pack of cigarettes, really, like $10, I could eat for a couple of days for $10. Like, it's ridiculous. And same with the children. Like, you shouldn't be having kids if you're poor.
Well,
like, if you can't afford to look after yourself, you shouldn't be having, you know, a whole bunch of kids and then...
Well, I guess those would be issues up to personal freedom.
Yeah, of course. But, I mean, you know, the world, our economy is similar, you know, to Monopoly. There's only... In order for me to have a dollar, somebody else...
Yeah, but... Yeah, but people didn't choose to live that. The perspective is you're young, you're making children, you have a job, and after the shop is closing, and then you get to the street with children. The point is, didn't choose to do that life. And you seems like thinking, well, it's we don't. I don't spend money on this. I can do 5 days with $5, but after paying the rent. After doing all this, there's no money left. They have to choose which priority to cut.
Well, thanks, John, for calling from Winnipeg. We'd like to turn over to Dexter here.
Oh, I just wanted to invite anyone on the streets who has children to maybe respond and give their perspective on the questions that have been raised just now. Any homeless people, people living in danger, in precarious situations, being threatened with homelessness, people who are barely affording their rent, people behind on their rent, and people with families and children, we'd love to hear from you. Why don't you give us a call, 1-866-763-4136. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to be hooking up with the Homelessness Marathon in the U.S. We're also going to be talking to some people from Switzerland, and we want you to stay tuned. We've got important programming for you all the way until sunrise here in Montreal at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard. We are broadcasting live 30 stations across the country, and we really, really, really appreciate your perspectives and your input. So please give us a call, 1-866-763-4136.
We are approaching 1 a.m. You're listening to CKUT 90.3, the Homelessness Marathon from the freezing streets of Montreal. We are going into our ninth hour, I believe. It is very cold out here. Soon we'll be having a new panel discussion. So far in this open mic that we just had, we heard many different perspectives on homelessness, and we heard about situations involving drug use, prostitution, going into different types of care, trying different types of housing out. So it was very interesting. Thank you all for your comments. Thank you all for your time, input, and thank you very much. If Anna, if you have any closing comments, si tu as quelque chose encore à dire. On a aussi quelqu'un ici qui vient de nous joindre ici. What's your name?
Noel.
Noel, hi, Noel.
Hi. Just a comment that I would like to make. The fact is, I don't know if people have actually understood the brevity of homelessness and how it will affect generations to come. I've pondered that myself, and what I've came to the conclusion is that the future society will be weakened as a result. People without awareness as to what is happening to them cannot think intelligently. To be conscious of homelessness and its consequences will somehow affect society's future. That's simple. That's common sense. Another idea I've been thinking about, and that is with the federal government. It has the funds to eradicate homelessness rather than impact people's lives. For example, the recent CPP exposure, that is the Canadian Pension Plan, where the Canadian Pension Plan is actually... The Canadian Pension Plan is investing its income into military industrial complexes. If the listeners don't know about that, that has appeared in the national papers of the Ottawa Citizen and also Montreal's Gazette in the last 2 days, I believe. So the government can eradicate this situation with the funds that they're actually gleaning off the military, industries, giving that money back to the political parties. Let's be frank about this. We have the Alliance, we have the Conservatives, we have the Liberals, all reaping benefits from the military-industrial complex. All right. It's time that this ceases. Unfortunately, homelessness and consciousness are victims. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Noah. We have Stefan here to say a couple words before we switch to the next discussion.
Well, I suppose this is an incredible event, really. I mean, we're sitting out on the streets of Montreal. It's not as cold as it was during last year's homelessness marathon, but, you know, we're surviving out here. But I guess the thing to remember, you know, as we're sitting out here with the microphones, broadcasting this homelessness marathon across the country, you know, there are thousands and thousands of people sleeping on the streets every night. And that's the reality in which they live. And, you know, really, I suppose this homelessness marathon is trying to attempt to bring that reality to the airwaves.
Exactly.
29 community stations across the country. And it's really important that people participate in this marathon. So we have somebody called...